The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees a man who had been formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" The parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he sees now we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." For the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open his eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? They reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are a disciple of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone who opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was a rather long gospel lesson. If my memory serves me correctly, that account of the blind man who was made to be able to see again is the longest healing account in the four gospels itself. And when you spend that much space and time writing it all out, there's got to be some important lessons to learn. The first one is they ask the question, who sinned? This man or his parents? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, at this time they believed that if something bad happened to you, either you had sinned or your parents had sinned. And to be born blind, they believe, incorrectly, of course, that the reason you were born blind is later in your life you would do some great sin if you had your sight. So therefore your sight was removed from you at birth. So when you saw somebody begging on the side of the street, you immediately blamed them and said, it's their fault they did something to deserve this. When he heals him, they ask the question, Is this not the man who sat and begged? And he kept saying, It's me. But they said, Well, some of them said, That's the beggar we used to see. And others said, No, it's somebody like him. So when you have a question of theology, who do you go to? The Pharisees. I love it. It's the Sabbath, but the Pharisees are gathering together to discuss this healing, which isn't that work in and of itself, but that's a story for another day, perhaps. Jesus did this on the Sabbath, and that's what they're mad at. A good teacher would not have healed on the Sabbath. The Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So notice, the Pharisees weren't all in one accord here. Some thought he had to be a man of God because he did such signs, and others said he couldn't be. So we shouldn't completely write the Pharisees off as a bunch of losers, because some of them actually did get it, and he was someone special. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him? It is your eyes he opened. He said he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he was blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, Is this your son? And they have to agree that it is their son. The parents were afraid. As it says in the gospel lesson, they were afraid because the Jews said anyone who said Jesus is the Christ would be thrown out of the synagogue. Then Jesus heard that the man had been driven away by the Pharisees after the second interrogation. And he asked the question, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the formerly blind man answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sins remained." You know, people looked at this blind man, but they didn't really see him there. They walked by, they wondered, and in their hearts, they condemned him for being blind. This blind man had never seen their faces, his parents' faces, his own face, a sunrise, a star, his home, or even a smile. Today is the day of healing. He became a new creation. He was living testimony to the Son of Man, but still people did not see the formerly blind man. They were unable to see him. Neighbors saw him as somebody blind and could not imagine anything different. After all, it's all they'd ever known. For as long as this man had lived, he had been a beggar on the side of the road. Blinded by disbelief, they kept asking him, "How were your eyes opened?" Two times the religious leaders call him in. Two times they interrogate him. And two times the man gives all the glory to God. See, they cannot see the new life, the new man, or the testimony about God. They have chosen power, rules, and boundaries over their truth, and their eyes have grown dim. Even his parents distance themselves from him. Notice they talk about their blind son, not the son now that can see. They deny right in front of their own eyes what had just happened. Fear does that to a person. Fear keeps us from seeing the larger reality of the situation around us. And we end up with tunnel vision caused by fear. They all looked, but they didn't see him, or they could not control their own blindness. The only difference between he and others is he knew that he had been once blind. They didn't realize it. Blindness does not mean darkness around us. Blindness means darkness within us. We're blind when we see less of others and focus on ourselves. Until Christ opens up our eyes, we only see a projection of ourselves onto the world around us. We describe and point to fears and beliefs within us. True seeing begins in the heart, not in the eyes. How have fears, attachments, and beliefs impaired our vision? Fear causes us not to see anything but our own problem at hand. When you have a big problem in life, you tend to focus only on that. You become with blinders, and that's the only thing that you see in front of yourself. It's the only thing you talk about. It's the only thing you think about. Attachments are things or people that we think we need to be happy. We can't imagine life without them, and the Bible calls them idols. Our vision becomes narrowed based on our attachments in life. Have you ever met somebody so fanatical in their beliefs that they can't see another viewpoint? I sure have, many a times. Witnessing to people about Christ, and they dig in their heels that there can't possibly be a God, they're not open enough to at least discuss the possibility of it being true. Too oftentimes, we are those type of people. We cling to our beliefs that we've created in our own heads. The inner darkness of our fears, attachments, and beliefs is what keeps us from seeing. They cover our eyes like the mud who covered the blind man's eyes. In placing the mud on the man's eyes. Jesus is holding out before him the reality of his blindness. He wears thick black lenses of fear, attachments, and beliefs. We all do. Those who do not know this are sent to wash in the pool, to be recreated, and to see with new eyes. Once they were in darkness, but now in the Lord, they are light. The rest will continue looking, but never see, their faces caked with mud. Don't just look around, look within. What do you see? How do you see? Where is the mud of darkness in your life? Name that reality. Acknowledge it, and then go wash in the waters of Christ. The mud of darkness gives way to the light of Christ. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.